We are discussing the gifts of the Spirit. And tonight we will discuss the gift of faith. Now, have you found the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians? We'll read again here the first verse. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Then, beginning with the fourth verse, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Now, we've already talked about the three gifts of revelation, and so we divided these nine gifts of the Spirit, or manifestations of the Spirit, up the way that they are generally divided, and that is that there are three of them that are revelation gifts, or reveal something. And those three are, of course, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. And then secondly, there are three of them that do something, or we call them the power gifts. That is faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. And then there are three of them that say something, are the three utterance gifts, are the three inspirational gifts, we call them. And that is prophecy, divers kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And so, having discussed already the first three gifts, the revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits, we will come now to the three power gifts. And the first one here is the gift of faith. Now, remember this, that all of these gifts are supernatural. They are not natural. Every single one of them is a supernatural manifestation of the Spirit of God. Just like the speaking with tongues is a supernatural manifestation. That you're talking isn't supernatural, because you could talk before you talk tongues. But what you're saying and where it's coming from is supernatural. It's given to you by the Holy Spirit. And every single one of them is a supernatural. There are Bible teachers that... It seems to me, as I read after them, that they're trying to tell us that part of them are natural and part of them are supernatural, but if one of them is supernatural, they're all supernatural. And I believe that every single one of them is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So now then, where there is a supernatural manifestation, you see, that reveals something, then it would naturally be one of these revelation gifts in operation. Now, certainly it's true that God in our own individual life, by the Spirit of God, may lead us and guide us in some ways that's supernatural, all right, but you know everything God does in a sense is in a way is supernatural, all right. But we're talking about a manifestation. Just because you see that in my own spirit, I may have an inward witness, though that witness is supernatural, yet that is not a manifestation of one of these gifts. Are you following me now? And so I have received a leading from God by an inward witness. I say to people sometimes when they ask me to pray for them about anything, sometimes they come and want me to pray with them about guidance and direction, you know, and I say to them very often, I say, sometimes I'm just impressed. See, well, I don't mean I have a supernatural manifestation about it. I just have an inward impression. And so that is the Spirit guiding me, you see. And I say to them, what does your heart tell you? And I've had them very often begin to laugh, you know, and said, well, you know, really, I guess I really know on the inside of me all the time what I ought to do. Well, they have guidance. These are not supernatural manifestations, you see, but they are, it is being led of the Spirit. But where there is a manifestation I'm talking about, a supernatural manifestation whereby something is revealed, it would have to come under one of these headings. It's either a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, or discerning spirits. Now, I'll give you a little illustration about what I mean by the difference about sometimes there's a supernatural manifestation even in guidance. That is a manifestation of this gift, the word of wisdom, or the word of knowledge. And then sometimes there is just the leading of the Spirit apart from these. I remember I was preaching, I was on my way, it would be 3 years ago this coming May, on my way to Portland, Oregon, to speak at the Full Gospel Businessmen's Regional Convention there. We had had a seminar here, you remember. Sister Clara Grace was with us. We called it a Holy Ghost seminar, you know, 3 years ago in the spring. Closed out about this time. That convention wasn't till the end of the month, and so we left here and went by Colorado and spoke in one of the assembly churches there for 3 nights. We began on Sunday and preached through Wednesday night. And then we went on over to Salt Lake City and spoke there to the Full Gospel Businessmen's chapter and spoke also to a prayer group in the home, and then went on over to Portland for the convention. But anyway, in speaking in this this very first Sunday in this church there in Colorado, an Assembly of God church, I was led, you know, just by an inward leading. No supernatural manifestation other than just in my own spirit, I had the sense or the intuition or the impression inside me to do something that I'd really never done before. And that was to start out. Now, I preached on Sunday morning on faith, but to start out on Sunday night and talk about the ministry of the prophet. And most of the time, there's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 4 nights, I talked along that line. I've never done that before, never done that since, never been led to do it. And so I was speaking on Sunday night about the prophet's ministry and how it functions and how it operates and so on. And I had about finished my message when I had a supernatural manifestation of something was revealed to me by a voice. Now, you know, Old Testament, again and again, to the prophet, the word of God would say, and the word of the Lord came unto me, or he would say, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. Well, now, everybody didn't hear it because everybody heard it. He wouldn't have to tell them what the Lord had said. But he heard it, you see. And so I heard the Lord say to me about a certain person. I pointed that person out, and I said, now, I'll show you how. And I can't always do that unless I have this supernatural something, see. I said, I'll demonstrate to you how this operates, how the office of the prophet operates. Now, for instance, I said, I just heard the Spirit of God say to me concerning this, and I pointed to a certain person. Never seen him, didn't know them. I said, you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what he said to me. Well, that was the word of knowledge, you see. It was revealed to me a fact about that person. This person said, no, I don't. Well, I said, now then, I have a word of wisdom for you. You see, for the revelation. I heard the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord say to me to call you up here, lay hands on you, and instantly when I touch you, you will be filled with the Spirit and will speak with other tongues. Well, that person just got right up and came right up there right then. And when they did, I laid hands on them and instantly they started talking in tongues right in front of the whole crowd. Sunday night crowd, the building was full, you see. Well, I lay hands on people many times in faith after I prepared them, but I had no preparation about teaching this person about the baptism of the Holy Ghost or anything, you see. But I just heard the Lord say that. That was revealed to me, you see. Well, then, after that happened, Then I said, now everybody in this room, everybody in this auditorium that wants the baptism, you're a believer and been born again, but never been filled with Spirit, and you want the Holy Spirit, you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, stand to your feet and come down here. We'll lay our hands on you. I don't have any word about you, but we'll lay our hands on you because it's scriptural. Well, about a dozen people got up and started down the different aisles, you see. And about the time they got there, one of the main aisles right in front of me, there were several coming there because the congregation, well, that would be the main aisle that'd come down. There was a lady there, and I heard again the Spirit of God say to me, that woman right there, she's the next one. She'll be filled next. Well, that revealed to me something about the future, you see, of the plan of God, the purpose of God. That was a revelation of the word of wisdom. So I said to her, I said, everybody, wait a minute now. The Lord just spoke to me again. I heard a voice come unto me saying that this woman right here, I don't know her name. Never seen her before in my life. But you will be the next one, he said. You come here the minute I touch you. So the minute I touched her, she began speaking with other tongues. Now I said, if I said to them ahead of time, if it don't work, you just go in and tell them I'm a false prophet. That don't mean I'm not saved. That just meant that was a false prophecy. I miss God. You know you can miss God, because if you're not saved just because you miss God, then there's none of you folks in this room that's saved. Well, now then, I said to the rest of them, I wish that I could say that the Lord had said you're the next, but I didn't hear anything. I can only repeat what I heard, you see, or what was revealed to me. But as I began to prepare them about the laying on of hands and tell them what the Word of God said about it, then I just simply had an impression, a leading in my spirit, which was not this supernatural. What I wanted to do was to show you the difference between the supernatural manifestation and the leading of the Lord without the manifestation that may produce the same results. See? So I said to them, I didn't hear the Lord say anything to me at all. I didn't hear any word, but I heard that other. I heard the voice of the Lord coming unto me saying about this person, the congregation. I pointed them out, and then this woman walking down the aisle along with others and pointed her out that they were next. But I said, I have a drawing. No word about it at all. But just on the inside of me, a leading or a drawing to this man right over here. And I'm prone to believe that he's the next one, because I really don't have a leading or a drawing towards any of you except just to lay my hands on him, because the Word of God teaches that. But I'm going to lay hands on him next. The minute I laid hands on him, he started talking in tongues just as quick as the others did, see? Well, now there I didn't have the same results was produced or came forth, you see, and yet there was no supernatural manifestation or revelation at all. They were just a leading of an inward witness that any believer might have, see? And so, you see, thank God for supernatural manifestations. We believe them. We should invite them. But we shouldn't just simply say, well, if they don't have these, God didn't move them, because he is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so now then, we come to this. I wanted to tie up some loose ends there about those things, you see. We leave anything then that is supernaturally revealed, as I said, would come under the heading of one of these three revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. So now then we come to this gift, the first one of the power gifts, and that is the gift of faith. I like the Amplified Translation. It says, unto another special faith, because this faith is special faith. Now the reason I say that is because every believer already has faith. You know, there is saving faith, and it's a gift too. You know, Ephesians the 2nd chapter and the 8th verse says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. But the faith that you're saved by, it is a gift of God, but it's given to you through the Word. See, Romans 10:17 said, so then faith, saving faith, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But this faith here is special faith. It's something besides saving faith, and it's given. And so faith is the greatest of the three gifts of power. It is distinct from saving faith. Saving faith, however, is a gift. Now, the gift of faith is miraculous, just like the rest of the gifts of the Spirit are miraculous. The gift of faith is a gift of the Spirit to the saint that he might receive miracles. Now, the working of miracles is a gift of the Spirit given to the saint by the Spirit that he might work miracles. These are very close. One receives, the other does something. Working. Did you notice it says to another, the working of miracles. See, when you receive a miracle, you don't work. But when you work it, when you do it, that's working a miracle. Are you following me now? And so, they're very closely associated, just like the revelation gifts are, and just like the utterance gifts are very closely associated. Prophecy, divers kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues are all very closely associated. In fact, the Bible plainly tells us that tongues with interpretation is equal to prophecy. Because it said, greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues except to interpret. Saying then to me that the person that speaks with tongues and interprets on the same level as the fellow that prophesies, you see. So they're all closely associated. But we are differentiating them because they are differentiated here and listing them separately so that we can itemize them and define them. And so then the gift of faith is a gift of the Spirit to the saint that he might receive miracles. This is not, and it is separate than faith, the fruit of faith. You know, in the New Testament we're taught about the fruit of the Spirit, and one of the fruit of the Spirit is faith in the King James translation. However, if one would study other translations or else look this word up in the Greek, it is not faith at all, but it is faithfulness. It is faithfulness. But fruit, you see, is for character, and this is for power. Fruit is something that grows. And so you could say, if you want to call it faith or faithfulness, is a fruit that grows in the life of the Christian, you see, to establish that Christian in spiritual character. But faith, as a special faith, as a gift, is given. Is given. Now, those who possess faith, the gift of the Spirit, believe God in such a way that God honors their word as his own and miraculously brings it to pass, whatever they say when this is in operation. Saving faith comes before salvation. We need to differentiate between these different kinds of faith. Saving faith comes before salvation. Faith, the fruit, comes after salvation. But this manifestation of the gift of faith comes after the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now then, let me say something else, because a lot of times, you see, on faith, we are the same as we are about prayer. A lot of times, we just put it all in the same sack and shake it all out together. Well, of course, you know, we mix it up then. But you see, let's differentiate between saving faith, faith the fruit, or general faith that every believer has, and then this special faith that God gives on certain occasions. For this simple reason, that so many times people, even Christians who have not studied the Bible, said, well, if God gives me faith, I'll have it. If he don't, well, I won't. Because, you see, they read here, to another is given faith, and so they think, you know, that that's the way it works. But now, wait a minute here. This special faith, this gift of faith, we've already proven is not for salvation. Because you see, you have to have saving faith before you can ever be saved. Isn't that right? By grace are you saved through faith. That kind of faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then secondly, as we pointed out, this kind of faith here is not the fruit faith. That grows in a person's life to develop character in spiritual living. Then thirdly, you do not receive ordinary, general answers to prayer with this manifestation of faith, with the gift of faith. In other words, we all know that you're saved by faith. We all know that you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost by faith. We all know that you get answers to prayer by faith, because Jesus said, you know, what things ever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them, doesn't he? And many of us have received many answers to prayer just through faith. I mean, before we ever got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you see, if you got answers to prayer, like financial needs met, even healing for your body by your own faith, that's one way to receive healing, you see. Healing for your body by your own faith, financial need met, prayer answered, you see, whatever it might be, from a postage stamp to $1,000 or whatever it is, you see, that answer does come to you because you believe God and by faith, but that is not this gift of faith in operation. Now let me show you why. For the simple reason that if the gift of faith had to be operated to get an answer to prayer, or for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or to receive healing for your body, or to receive a financial need met or any other need, then you could never get your prayers answered until after you got saved and then after you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See? And yet a lot of us, before we ever do anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, received healing for our bodies, didn't we? I did, by faith, in God's word, God's promise, you see. And then not only that, but then everybody, even who has the baptism of the Holy Ghost, would never then be able to exercise faith for an answer to prayer, or an answer for financial needs to be met, or praying themselves, exercising faith for healing. They never would be able to do that, ever. Even spirit-filled people couldn't, because all of them will not have this gift. Because he said, to one is given the word of knowledge, to another, faith. See? You know, and Paul, when he summed this up at the end of the chapter, you know, he said, are all workers of miracles? In other words, does everybody have this gift of working of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healings? Well, the answer is no. Well, you could add to it then, do all have this gift of faith? The answer is no. So then, you see, everybody, if you got your prayers answered by the gift of faith, this spiritual gift of faith, then everybody couldn't get their prayers answered. And yet, we are all encouraged to pray, and we're all encouraged to believe God when we do pray. Isn't that right? So I call that faith general faith. I call that faith a saving faith, a common faith that all believers have that can be increased by feeding it on the Word of God and exercising it in the arena of life. See? And therefore you can have an ever-increasing faith. But this is something else. It is a supernatural manifestation, praise God, of special faith. The gift of faith then is distinct also, now let me say this, from the working of miracles, though both of them produce miracles. One of them is active and the other is passive. Working of miracles is active because, notice the word working, active. But the gift of faith doesn't work, but passively receives. In other words, the difference between the working of miracles and the gift of faith is that one does, the other receives or enjoys things. For instance, Daniel in the lion's den received a miracle. Oh, somebody said, well, yeah, but they said the angel of the Lord shut that lion's mouth. I know it, but it said Daniel believed God. Doesn't it? It talks about Daniel's faith there. It said Daniel believed God. Well, now, in those days, and you can read right on down through history, they were just great Christians that were thrown to the lions, and the lions eat them. Isn't that right? Why didn't they eat Daniel? Well, there's no doubt about it, but what God gave him special faith, a special manifestation here to receive deliverance. See, he didn't do anything. He didn't shut the lion's mouth. Old Daniel just laid down and went to sleep. Brother, that's faith, isn't it? That's passive. That isn't active, yet he received a miracle. You see, Jesus was exercising this gift of faith when he went to sleep in the hinder part of the ship on a pillar when the storm was on. He wasn't bothered. He was sleeping, wasn't he? Well, somebody said, well, yeah, but that was Jesus. Well, now, wait a minute. Jesus never did do anything except by the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, he stripped of himself of what power he had as the Son of God. And as we pointed out many times in these lessons, he was just as much the Son of God before the Holy Ghost came on him and anointed him after he's baptized of John as he was beforehand. And yet the Bible tells us that he never had worked any miracle. See? But he was ministering only as any man could, anointed by the Holy Ghost. Now that has to be right. Because Jesus, if it isn't right, if he worked miracles or received miracles by some power that was inherent in him as being the Son of God, then he would not have told us that we could do the works he did. But Jesus plainly said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," do you believe on him? He said, "The works that I do shall he do also." Well, then, if he was working anything or doing anything or receiving anything by any power that was inherent in him as being the Son of God, that statement would be a misstatement. See what I mean? That we couldn't do it. But if he was just as a man, anointed by the Holy Ghost, then certainly under the inspiration and anointing of the Holy Ghost, then believers could do the same thing. Well, now here the storm was on. Jesus was asleep. He wasn't bothered about the storm. Daniel laid down and slept right in the face of danger. You'll find out that that's where the gift of faith primarily works, and we'll some others, but I mean for an individual, in individual life, is in the face of danger. You can see that all through the Old Testament as well as the New, in the face of danger. A calmness that's beyond the natural. Now see, we all believe God, and we have a certain amount of faith, you know, we believe God. But yet there comes this calmness that just comes into us, that pervades our very inner being, and you just simply, you just simply know what all these do it. And so, the working of miracles employs active faith that actively works a miracle. But the gift of faith employs active faith that passively expects a miracle as a sustained or a continuous miracle. In other words, when the gift of faith in operation, there may not be anything seen. There may not be anything acted at the moment at all. It'll carry over a long period of time. You see, it was by the gift of faith that the patriarchs of old would lay hands upon their children and pronounce blessings or curse upon them, and they'd come to pass sometimes years later. But you see, it produced continuous action. The gift of faith is a supernatural endowment by the Spirit, whereby that which is uttered or desired by men or spoken by God shall eventually come to pass. The human or divine miracle, utterance or miracle, assurance, curse, blessing, or a creation or a destruction, a removal or an alteration. But it'll come when it's been spoken by this gift. I know in my own individual life, I've always been one to act upon the Scriptures. But and act upon God's Word and believe God, and believe according to that Scripture. But then I'm conscious of times of this other faith coming. And it doesn't bother me a bit in the world whether I see anything or I don't. I'll just laugh right in the face of it. Because I know that the Word was spoken. I know it has to be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I'll tell you, it's sort of like Smith Wigglesworth said, you'll find very often that if you'll make a step of faith and use your own faith that you as an individual Christian have, when you come to the end of that faith, very often this faith will take hold of you. This supernatural faith will take hold of you. The reason it happens with a lot of folks, they never use what they got first. Amen. Sort of like Smith Wigglesworth said, he said in his own individual life, and incidentally, it is this spiritual, this special faith that's used in raising the dead. That's a manifestation of it. And they were under his ministry, three different people raised from the dead. And the first one that was raised from the dead, he had known that this lady had been sick and been visiting her, and he was still working as a plumber. He had the baptism of the Holy Ghost all right, but wasn't out in full and active ministry as yet. And he came in from work, you see, from plumbing in the afternoon, and he saw all these people, and he knew something had happened, and so he said, he went to this house just a few doors from theirs, and his wife was there, and she said, "Sister so-and-so, you know, died just a while ago," and she was dead. Well, he said, "I said, let's pray." She said, "No, Daddy, don't pray. She's already dead." He said, "My wife was always afraid I'd go too far, you know." We've got a lot of them afraid. Some of us will go too far. Some of us have got out further than they have, at least. but I wish I could push some of you folks out beyond where you are. So Wigglesworth said, I began to pray. And he put it this way. He said there, the lady lay on the bed, but I began to penetrate the heavens with my prayer, with my faith, with what faith I had. And all the time my wife would hold up me, shake me, said, no, Daddy, don't. She's already dead. Stop praying. She's already dead. It's too late. And he said, I just kept praying. And directly he said, I come to the end of my faith. I come to the end of my faith. And he said, when I did, I was conscious of a faith that took hold of me that could not be denied. And he said, while I was praying in my own faith, it seemed like that God said, no, no. But when this other faith took hold of me, he said, I looked right up into heaven and said, yes, yes, yes. And then he said, the next thing I knew, without intending to do it, without realizing really, it just suddenly dawned on me what I'm doing. I got a hold of that woman, pulled her right out of bed, stood her right up against the wall, and commanded to walk in Jesus' name. She started breathing, walking, was raised up. Praise the Lord. Now, you know just as well as I know that that's beyond anybody's ordinary faith. Isn't that right? Saint, Christian, preacher, whoever he is, that's beyond ordinary faith, isn't it? I said, isn't it? Sure it is. And that had to be, and you know, we in our ordinary faith, we could pull somebody out of bed like they did and stand them up there and tell them to walk, but that doesn't mean they're going to walk. I think we've tried some of those things, haven't we? Almost, you know, in some of our own. Amen. Are you listening to me? But thank God when this special manifestation comes, it works. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm thoroughly convinced. I know a minister and his wife down in the state of Texas, Assembly of God minister, he was sick in bed. There was an evangelist there holding a meeting at the time, and this evangelist was praying, and his wife was praying with him. He'd been terribly ill and just about dead, and this evangelist said, I'm just as dead certain. Now, his wife never did say anything, but the evangelist said, I'm just dead certain, just as sure as I can be, that the man died, that the pastor died, because he said, I couldn't find any pulse about him, and I couldn't find any heartbeat or any respiration about him. And I've seen people dead, being a preacher and a pastor through the years, and been there when they died, and I'm convinced that in the night time up here, about between 2 and 4 o'clock in the morning, that this pastor died. But said about the minute he died, his wife was kneeling right there, said she just rose up. She had been praying quietly, no outcry from her. Said she just rose up. And this evangelist said, I watched her. Assembly of God evangelist said, I watched that Assembly of God pastor's wife. She wasn't a minister. But said, I knew the Lord was on her. She didn't look. Said there was a glory about her. And that little old woman pulled him out. And he said, I just watched. She pulled her husband, that about twice as big as her, out of bed and stood him up like a stick of wood and said, walk in the name of Jesus. And he started breathing, walking. Now, brother, that's beyond ordinary faith, isn't it?
Amen.
How many folks have you done that with? Amen, isn't that right? Now, that Assembly of God evangelist said, and I believe him, I know him, and I know the other fellow. Praise God that walked. Amen. He said, far as I know, the man, the pastor said, far as I know, is dead. But now, how in the world did she even have that strength to lift that fellow that big out of bed? I mean, just stand him up there like a stick of wood and tell him to go to walking. He went to walking. Praise God. Well, I'll tell you what it was. It was a supernatural manifestation of God's power to receive from God a miracle. Praise the Lord. Now, as I said, sometimes it's an instant miracle, but sometimes it's a continuous miracle, or sometimes over a period of time it works. Now then, let's put it another way, if we may. The working of miracles is more of an act, where the gift of faith is more of a process. The working of miracles would receive a miracle. I mean, would do a miracle. The gift of faith would receive a miracle. Let's look at some scriptural uses. I mean, in the Bible, of this. Now, first of all, it was employed for direct supernatural blessing or fulfillment of human utterance. You see, the Bible tells us those patriarchs old, when they'd come to die, they would lay their hands on their son or sons and would command blessings upon them. And they'd come to pass. That was done by the gift of faith. They believed, you see, in a supernatural way that what they said would come to pass. I mean, even years later. You can see that with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You can see that. And then you'll see also that this gift of faith is for personal protection from perilous circumstances. Like, for instance, Daniel in the lion's den. And then number three, this gift of faith is used for a supernatural sustenance in the time of famine, like Elijah, for instance. God told him to go down there, but he had to believe. Faith had to be given to him because that was beyond the ordinary. It's beyond the Word of God, even, to believe that ravens would feed him. And they brought food to him morning and night, fed him. Praise the Lord. Isn't that right? Sure they did. Sure they did. And then number four, this gift of faith is used to raise the dead, as we've already pointed out. And then faith, the gift, is employed in casting out evil spirits. You see, after all, you're trusting God to honor your word when you command that spirit to come out in the name of Jesus. And then we'll sum it up this way, to say that the present day, these are things that happened in the scriptures. I'm talking about the use of this gift. But the present day uses are identically the same. For protection or deliverance from storm, from lightning, from shipwreck, from evil men, evil spirits, wild beasts, pestilence, calamity. Supernatural protection in all circumstances. Now these three gifts that do something will very often work together. Sometimes people have thought that the gift of faith would work in healing of the sick, but it doesn't. If it's healing, it's one of its gifts of healings in operation. To heal the sick, ordinary sickness, is gifts of healings in operation. Amen. Now then, to cleanse a leper. Leprosy is an incurable disease, so any incurable sickness, infirmity, affliction, and cripples come under the same heading. Again, gifts of healings are in operation in those things, you see. We'll get down to gifts of healings eventually. Now then, when it comes to casting out demons, you'll find that gifts of discerning of spirits and the gift of faith in operation. Or the word of knowledge. If you don't discern the spirit, very often it's revealed through you through the word of knowledge the spirit's there. But still, the gift of faith has to be exercised in casting the thing out. Now, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't have time to go into it because it's besides the point. But I'll tell you, the way some people are dealing with this demon and evil spirit and devil question troubles me. Because it's not actually in line with the Word of God and binds people instead of delivers them. Are you listening to me? Amen. And a lot of things that people are calling the devil isn't the devil at all. The Bible calls them the works of the flesh. You read there in the fifth chapter of Galatians, and he said, now the works of the flesh are these. And he mentions envy. Yet somebody that has a little envy about them, somebody wanting to cast the devil out of them. And he even mentions hate there, doesn't he? He said these are the works of the flesh. You've got the flesh to deal with. You've got to crucify the flesh. It isn't that easy just to command him to come out and that's it.
Amen.
Did you hear that? And then sometimes, and I want to say this and say it just as kind as I can, because there's something involved here that I think we need to realize about. Like a lady said to my wife over in the South, I'm sure nobody over in Oklahoma would be this stupid, but there was down in Georgia. And she said, you know, Sister Higgins said, I don't know, said somebody, you know, she was a little fat and overweight. And so somebody cast the spirit of gluttony out of her and something else, you know, and told her now she was going to lose 50 pounds so quick. But she said, you know, I didn't. Said, I asked him, well, I should have quit eating. No, eat anything you want to. Said, you'll lose it, but instead of losing it, she got fatter. Well, now anybody ought to see that's not working. I'll tell you what the Bible did say. It said if you be given to appetite, put a knife to your throat. Don't shout me down now. Just cause I'm preaching real good. Amen. Did you hear me? That's what the Bible said to do. The Bible said again, he's talking about things of the flesh, talking about eating and drinking as well as other things. He said be moderate in all things, or temperate, you see. The Bible teaches us to control our bodies. The Bible teaches us to do something with our body. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. And so now a lot of these things are kind of like I said that people get into, you know, I'll tell you, to me they're just really disrespectful toward God and the Bible. Like somebody, like I said, I'm sure nobody in Oklahoma would be that stupid, but this is another place down in Georgia. And a lady said, how many devils have you cast out today? They just go around casting devils out of everybody, you see. Everything was a devil. Said, well, I've cast out 28. Said, how many of you cast out? They started challenging one another to see who would cast the most devils out of people. Tell you the real truth about it, they hadn't cast out near one. Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? They hadn't cast out near one. I was in a service, and I think we need to be careful about these things, friends. We need to be scriptural. We need to believe the truth. We need to practice the truth. We need to get results, but we need to be careful. And like I said, I'm sure this wouldn't happen in Oklahoma or Arkansas, but it did in Georgia. I was in a service there. This wasn't my particular service, but it's another service, and a man was talking along this line. I didn't agree with some of his methods, but I stayed with him just to hear what he did have to say. And then after the service, well, I remember two ministers, two, I'm sure there are other ministers than that there, but they were two ministers, full gospel men. One of them was a Pentecostal holiness evangelist. And he came to me almost crying. He said, Brother Hagin, he said, you know, he said, I was in that service and I went up just to shake hands with this man that was doing the preaching, you see. And he said, when I shook hands with him, told him I enjoyed it. I didn't understand everything that's going on, but I just give him the benefit of the doubt. He knows more about some of these things than I do, I guess, you know. Tell him I, you know. And so he said, while he had to hold my hand, said, you've got a devil in you. I said, have a? See, here's Pentecostal holiness evangelist. He said, yeah. Well, I said, what kind? He said, you got a devil of resentment in you. I'm going to cast that out of you. So he cast it out of him. But the fellow come to me and he said, if I got any resentment in my heart towards anybody, I don't know it. If I've got that in me, I don't know it. I think you would if you did. I think you would know it. Don't you think so? See? Well, he said, that really confused me. I was sort of going along with it until then, but that really confused me. I started checking up on myself. Have I got something in me that oughtn't have in me? I mean, you know, and he said, if I've got any resentment in my heart towards anybody, I don't know it. I don't, he said. I know I don't. I said, well, I'm sure if you did, you'd know it. I mean, I'd know whether I had any resentment towards anybody or not, wouldn't you? Fella didn't know whether he did or not, either he doesn't or else he's crazy, one of the two, if he don't know. Because you do know. You do know, see? Well, then another minister came to me. He said, Brother Hagin, I was in that service. He said, I went up, shake hands with that fella afterwards that was doing the preaching and all this. And he said, he had a hold of my hand. This fella was confused. He said, I'm confused now. I said, well, what am I? Well, he said, I had a devil in me. Or an evil spirit in me. I said, well, what kind did you have? And so he told him what kind of a spirit he had. And then he said to me, he said, well, if I do, I sure don't know it. He said, that's not my case. That's not me. I don't have anything like that. Again, he sort of had something against somebody. You see, a fellow minister. He had envy and he had hate, you see, and ill will towards a fellow minister. He said, I don't. Before God Almighty, if I died this minute and went into God's presence, I don't have anything in my heart against anybody, much less a minister. Now, don't you know he'd know whether he did or not? But I think what happened to this fellow, I think this man who's doing this preaching is a perfectly good fellow and had a perfectly good ministry. But I think that you get sometimes on any one subject and just keep building on it until you get to the extreme on it and get out of balance. One thing I pray God help me to stay balanced. Now, you know water baptism is a Bible subject. It's scriptural. It's biblical. I believe water baptism, don't you? And yet there are people that's taken water baptism and built it all out of balance. They'll tell you if you're not baptized in water, you're not saved. And that finally some of them even tell you that's what saves you. Well, that's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's what saves you. And then others will tell you, unless you're baptized in water, you know, by a certain formula, we don't care. And then some of them, even who baptized by the same formula, said, unless I done it, you're not saved. Well, I heard one say that on the radio. Said, he's baptized in the name of Jesus only. And I heard him say right on the radio. I'm not talking about what somebody told me. He said, I don't care how many of you people have been baptized in the name of Jesus only, you're not saved unless I did it. I'm the only one authorized to do it. And none of you will ever go to heaven unless I do it. Unless I baptize you in water named Jesus. So that leaves all of us out. I'd just soon hear donkey bread midnight to 10 barn. In fact, he wouldn't do, I'd rather, because he wouldn't do so much harm. Nobody'd pay any attention to that donkey brain. I mean in the 10 barn, but that donkey on the radio, a lot of people pay attention to him a brain. And it'll bother folks. Are you still out there or are you going home? Well, now you see, here's what I'm talking about. Here, I believe in water baptism. I believe in the name of Jesus. But you see, the thing is, you can take water baptism and push it to the extreme. You can take the name of Jesus and push it to the extreme, you see, and do more harm, though you got an actual scriptural basis back here somewhere. You can push it to the extreme and do more harm than good.
Amen.
Can you follow me?
Amen.
Then not only that, but I believe and know about evil spirits, the devil and demons, and we need to know something about them. But you can take it and build on it and push it to the extreme, do more harm than you can good until you'll finally just see a devil in everybody. You know, you'll see an evil spirit in everybody. Everybody's got one. Everybody. And people become more devil conscious than they do God conscious. They become more demon conscious than they do Holy Spirit conscious. And they give place to the devil and he defeats them. But bless God, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. Didn't he? I said, didn't he? Praise God, the truth will make you free. Well, thank God there is deliverance. Praise the Lord. Now then, I'll tell you the truth about the matter. A lot of these things, like I said, isn't the devil at all. He may take advantage of some situations that exist, but if you would just deal with the flesh, he wouldn't have anything to work on. If you'd do what the Bible said about it, if you'd present your body to God, because the devil's out here in this world, he's the god of this world, and these evil spirits are here. But if you'd just simply give your body as a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable or spiritual service, praise the Lord, and not yield the members or instruments of your body as instruments of unrighteousness, but unto God as instruments of righteousness, the devil wouldn't be able to get any place in you. Amen. But now, it is certainly true that there are those that are bound by the enemy. And of course, all bondage, either directly or indirectly, is of the devil. That doesn't mean there's always the presence of an evil spirit right there. But he's behind the thing. But we are not going to be able to deal with situations just within our own strength, our own general, ordinary faith, but thank God for the equipment of the Spirit of God. Now then, the gift of faith is used, as I said, to cast out demons, but it's also used to raise the dead. But however, there's more in manifestation. In raising the dead, you'll find this, that all three of these gifts operate together. The gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings are all in operation when a person's raised from the dead. I see, this is one reason that you don't see too many people raised from the dead. Because some of us may have one or more of these operations, but not too many of us have all of them. Are you listening to me? Now you see, in other words, first of all, in the raising of the dead, if that person, it takes faith to call them back, call their spirit back, you see, because the spirit's left the body. It takes this supernatural faith to do it. See? Amen. And it takes a working of miracles to do a work of miracle to pull them out of bed like Wigglesworth did and set them on their feet and send them up against the wall and say, start operating. But then it takes gifts of healing, because if they weren't healed, you see, they'd immediately die again. They have to get healed too, don't they?
Right.
Sure they do. Sure they do. Sure they do. And so actually you have the manifestation of all three of them together on that. Now, in other words, in summing up, we'll say this. By the gift of faith, the violence of fire has been subdued. By the gift of faith, the miraculous has been supernaturally manifested, and that people have been fed and sustained, living and laboring in some instances for 40 days without even food or water. Are you listening to me? Angels have stood guard over the servants of God, protecting them, because this gift was in manifestation. Men have been delivered from the ferocity of beasts, like Daniel, for instance, the lion's den. There has been an inward calm within the spirit of those in possession of this gift, so that a man condemned to die could sleep on the very eve of his execution. Praise God. That's beyond ordinary faith, isn't it? I've got faith. I believe you have. I know every believer does, whether you use it or not. But I don't know whether I'm supposed to be executed in the morning or not. I could just sleep like a baby. Could you? It'd take a little supernatural faith beyond the natural to do that. Beyond the ordinary common human faith. You see what I mean? And then by this gift, you see, raging storms that have threatened to submerge the ship at sea, praise God, has been stopped. A miracle was received. Here is a gift that can expel unclean spirits from the bodies of men which have defiled them by their presence. On the other hand, this gift can minister the spirit. Now, those who have a ministry, anybody can do it with natural faith, but the gift of faith comes into operation in laying hands on people to be filled with the Holy Ghost, in ministering the spirit. You see, Paul said to the Galatians, "He that worketh miracles among you," well, that's the working of miracles, "and ministereth to you the Spirit." He's talking about working of miracles ministry first, and then he's talking about ministering to you the Spirit. "Doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Well, it's by the hearing of faith. Ministering the Spirit. The gift of faith comes in when it comes to ministering the Spirit. The gift of faith comes into operation with the laying on of hands ministry. Now, you see, anybody could lay hands on people in general common faith, expecting God to, as we appropriate His promises, to believe God. You understand that? But when it comes to a manifestation through an individual to another, then that's a supernatural manifestation. You see, as you in faith, without anything being manifested through you, lay hands on someone for healing or any other kind of blessing, to be filled with the Spirit, anything else, and if it is received, that's a demonstration of God's power. But if, when one lays hands on folks and there is ministered through them healing, that's gifts of healings. Or ministering blessings, like, for instance, being filled with the Holy Ghost, see, that's a supernatural manifestation. Well, God works through demonstrations of power, but He also works through supernatural manifestations. Praise the Lord. Both ways, see? And so, therefore, this gift can minister the Spirit, imparting the fullness, which is the promise of the Father, enriching the soul and empowering it for spiritual service. And then by this gift, blessings can be pronounced miraculously and permanently change the whole course of one's career. Praise God. Then again, if occasion arises, the servant of the Lord can actually be transported, that is, carried bodily by the power of the Spirit through the air, and that's the gift of faith in operation, wherever the Lord wants him to go. Praise God. Did you get that? Amen. Now, you see that in two characters in the Old Testament, Enoch and Elijah. And you know what? Enoch was translated and went to heaven without dying. And you know the Bible said he did that by faith. I said, did you know the Bible said he did that by faith? Someone said, oh, God did that. Wait a minute. The Bible said Enoch did. Now, notice what it said. You go to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and it lines this all. It said, by faith. Woo! By faith. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For God took him. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then not only that, but Philip was caught away and found over in another place, wasn't he? Isn't that right? Now, of course, you see, that's not as you will, but as the Lord's will. Well, you know, I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. Now, you can go off and say I've got fanatical if you want to, but that's all right. I've been accused of that before. But through the operation of the gift of faith, because I guess the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, along with gifts of healing, have been operated or manifested more than any others in my own ministry. Every single one of these manifestations have been, except this of being transported, and I'm expecting that to happen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I know that is as the Spirit wills. Don't you misunderstand me.